magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Oh. Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 432. This is the slightly abbreviated edition because I'm running short on time today. So we've got about 50 minutes that we can play around with.
I just got back to the dentist before we start recording. So I'm on my last fucking leg as far as being able to.
Yeah, Eli is reeling from dental work. And
I just didn't want to miss a week.
Yeah, no, he's a trooper. He didn't want to miss a show, and so he showed up even with a mouth full of whore, I guess you could say. But yeah, so we're going to probably – I think we might cut the banter a little bit short today, but I do want to discuss a topic happening in your life right now, which is that you're trying to sell a couch on Craigslist.
Breaking news. Yeah, well, so we bought this really cool couch on Craigslist. Yeah.
So you bought a couch on Craigslist.
How is the numbness in my mouth like migrating? So anyway, yeah, we bought a couch on Craigslist a few months ago. Lindsay is really into this kind of mid-century modern wooden bullshit, and we found this couch that was badly needed to be reupholstered.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The frame was amazing.
I think you bought this a while back, right?
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I sound like I'm mumbling. I'm really trying.
No, you're good actually.
So we got it and I was like, how much could it possibly cost to reupholster a couch? So you gave a person
probably a couple
hundred bucks. Yeah. The cheapest estimate we got was $1,800 to reupholster a couch.
I believe it.
And I was just like, what? I was like, God damn. I was expecting all right, we spend $200 on this really awesome antique couch frame. Mm-hmm. And then we spend $500 getting it reupholstered.
Yeah.
For a $700, $750 with plus a U-Haul rental couch. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not having double or triple that be.
Yeah.
What we're in for.
Yeah, that's rough.
Just trying to get rid of it now because I would just rather, if I'm going to spend $1,800 on
the
couch, I'd rather just buy a new couch, because what do you even do if you, the upholstery guy comes back and it's like, oh man, I really don't like how these cushions fit on this couch or whatever else. It's like, all right, well that's, or the cushions are too hard whatever, because your couch is your main comfy spot. Right. And
it's gotta be a good couch.
I would rather go to the Lazy Boy store and spend that kind of money on an expensive couch that I know is going to be a super couch to sleep on.
Yeah.
Then give some upholstery dude that much money and cross my fingers that he makes it something nice.
Yeah.
If I was super handy and into sewing and stuff, I would totally do this and it would probably be not that expensive. But yeah. So now I'm trying to sell my couch on Craigslist. And so the new thing is these people say, I want to buy your exact, then they paste the exact, subject of the ad and then it says still available and I respond yes and I say okay, I'm sending a security code. If you're real, please send it back. I meet you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Just send me the code. I need your cell phone number. Just send me the code.
Yeah.
And I respond, for someone that says that in order to make it this not a scam, you need me to do all this bullshit, that really seems scammy because you're texting me from a number that's in fucking Eastern New York. For an item in the Chicago area. How about I send you a code?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I need to send you the code first. And I say, okay, well, send me the code and I'll send you a code. And then you need to tell me the code that I give you. We need to have this double authenticated. And they're like, and that's when they stopped responding because I don't think they. Oh, someone. Okay, give me the code. 6969-69-420.
So that's your code to them.
Yeah. That's my authentication key.
Are you texting with them?
Well, I did it over Google Voice, so.
Oh, okay. So this ends in a murder.
And then what do you know? Another person, the first person that didn't want me to send them a code just responded, "We're just moving in and not currently in town to come see or pick it up, but if you don't mind, I can make the payment through cashier's check, and once the check clear, I'll have the movers pick it up ASAP. Kindly hold it for me. Thanks."
Scam.
So this is where I respond, "Sure. If it will help with your move, you could even send me a larger cashier's check, and I will be more than happy to provide cash for the balance on top of the $250.
Oh man. They're gonna be like,
"These guys are gonna be like, we got a live one here, boys.
Yeah, we got a live one. Please just cash advance me $5,000 over the price of the couch."
Oh, it says the code will either have 5 or 3 digits. Oh, sorry. It's 420.
Well, so either way, this ends in a murder, though. Like, you're going to probably murder somebody that does end up getting your couch, or you're going to invite somebody to your house that will eventually murder you.
You know, it's a win-win. Either scenario is a win-win.
It's a win-win either way. You know. Craigslist will end in murder 99% of the time, so... Well, good luck with that. I hope you do sell your couch. I think hopefully we get an update on that. Possibly before the end of the show. The
way it'll be developing.
Going right now. Sounds like this guy is hot and interested.
Which side of these stories did you want to start on, by the way?
Let's start on the other side, actually. We'll go the oldest to newerest. Let's jump into some mobile gaming talk, because this is a mobile gaming podcast, I've been told. So this was cool news this week. Out There Omega Edition, which is amazing roguelike, kind of like graphic novel strategy game combination sort of thing, got a huge update on mobile this week. It basically got widescreen support or full screen support for like iPhone 10 and above, but also all the additional content that was released in what's called the Alliance Edition, which was the version of the game that released on Nintendo Switch, whenever that released, I don't know, last year or something. Anyway, it's got a bunch of new content, new story bits, new enemies, new chips, new all sorts of stuff. And I don't know, I'm a big stickler for games that have full screen support, and I don't usually play games often that don't have it. And Out There was always just a great go-to game to hop into and play just anytime. I'm shallow and I want that full screen support. And so now that it has that, I'm really excited to start playing Out There again.
That's cool. These, I love these games. I don't know. I go back and forth between like this or FTL better.
Yeah. Out There's cool. It's one of those games, like, you have to really appreciate the roguelikes that chew you up and spit you out mercilessly. Like, you can dump an hour into this game and just one tiny little thing that's totally out of your control can just end your game for you. And you have to like be able to accept those things and sort of like derive some joy out of them, which I totally mm-hmm. do. Like, I will be having a great game and all of a sudden something happens and it's just over in the blink of an eye. And I laugh about it. I'm like, are you kidding me? This game just screwed me over so hard. Some people don't like that sort of thing.
It depends. Like, if you have, because I feel like we have a community of people that like appreciate the silly stories of playing these kind of like brutal roguelikes.
Yes.
Because like my whole local group of friends got really into Death Row to Canada when it came out, and like we'd go out to drink beers, and it would be like that we would just share Death Row to Canada stories. It was the weirdest fucking thing. It was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like I had this run and was almost dead. And then I picked up a dog and I ended up dying and I made it to Canada as the dog. Like, and it was, I don't know, like that is super, super interesting to me.
Yeah. That's one of the funnest parts about these games is sharing your tales of woe and how hard you got screwed over or whatever. And it's kind of a different feeling than like, you know, if you play like a story-based game that like doesn't save, or it loses your save progress or something like that. Like, that's not fun. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like a game that's meant to be played, you're meant to die all the time. They're not overly long games or whatever. You should be able to take those like sudden game ending deaths in stride. And just fire it up again and try again next time or whatever. It's an exceedingly hard game to beat. But when you do, it's super satisfying because of all those reasons. So
yeah.
Anyway, Out There Omega Edition, got a bunch of new content, full screen support, all of that jazz. It's basically
good to go. I would say if you're into this and you have FTL, or if you're not into FTL and you don't have this, like, these are very complimentary games to each other.
I never ever got into FTL, but I think it was because it was iPad only, and I think still is.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody is perfect. So this trailer totally caught my attention this week. Death Trap Dungeon, which is probably the most well-known game book in the Fighting Fantasy series, originally released in the mid-80s or whatever, and has been adapted to various board games and video games and stuff over the years. I think mobile gamers would probably recognize it from the 10 Man Games Fighting Fantasy Classics app, where it's available there digitally. And game books in digital form are really nice. Lots of times it's just kind of what you'd expect. It's like a digital book. You still read through it. You still, you know, turn the pages and stuff like that. But because it's a digital game, it can take care of like all the dice rolling stuff for you and take care of all the stat tracking stuff for you and all these things that might be something you'd bust out a pen and paper or need like extra elements for in like a traditional like tabletop game. It's taking care of it for you in the game itself, and that's really handy and nice. Well, this is kind of something different altogether. This is actually a full motion video interactive version of Death Trap Dungeon that is read through almost in like he's playing the dungeon master, I guess, of your adventure by real deal actor Eddie Marsan. Who has been, if you look him up on IMDb, he's been in like a billion movies. And I recognize him, but I don't know from where. But he's definitely, you know, full-blown good actor. And so if you watch the trailer for this, though, it 1,000,000% gave me vibes of like, I don't know, The Seventh Guest or like old school, like full motion video games when that stuff was new, like CD technology was new. It totally has that sort of campy vibe, but it's also done like really well. Or like even before that, like if you ever played like VHS based, like, you know, games like this, like mystery board games,
yeah, for sure,
stuff like that.
Yeah, those were so cool back in the day. And it's like,
That's kind of what this reminds me of. And so basically this actor Eddie Marsan is reading passages through the book, and then it stops and it gives you the ability to choose your next path or choose your own adventure like you would in the game book or whatever. And then it also does all the nice stuff of keeping track of your stats or taking care of the dice rolls when you have to, you know, battle and stuff like that. But it's all like it's like this guy reading it to you in a whole bunch of interactive full motion video cutscenes, which are really well done and really high quality and nothing at all like the old early 90s stuff. But I did sort of get that vibe from these trailers, but totally in a good way. So this actually seems like a really cool game and a really cool something that will work really well on mobile, I think. However, it is available right now only on PC and Mac through Steam. It is in early access and it's $10. So if you do want to check it out right now, you can on desktop. Otherwise, it's going to be coming to mobile and other platforms, which I imagine will be like Switch and stuff, sometime later this year. So I'm looking forward to this because I think it looks pretty cool.
I have good news and bad news. Which would you like first?
The murder couch buyers on the way to your house right now.
Oh, well, that's the good news. That's going great. Bad news.
Okay. What's your good news, Dad?
This beer is hitting me like a truck.
You shouldn't mix it with
probably shouldn't mix products. It with all the sedatives I took today, but you know what? This will be a fun podcast for me. So
it's fun already.
It's
the good news, bad news.
That was the good news, bad news. I don't remember what the bad news was, but whatever it was, I'm sure it was bad. This story is interesting. The EA Tetris, going offline. I was following like rumblings on Twitter, and maybe you can explain what's going on with this, but it seems like they've reverted the rights of the game back to like whoever originally created Tetris or something like that.
Well, here's what I know about this, and Tetris is one of those things that's like as confusing as can be, with a whole history of crazy stuff in terms of like rights and stuff over the last three or four decades, but basically people who have the EA Tetris games installed on their phones or their iPad or whatever, were greeted to a pop-up that was like, hey, this game's shutting down on April 22nd or something like that, 21st. And after that, it's not going to be playable anymore. They disabled all the in-app purchase stuff, and the game is playable until then. But after then, the game's not even like going to be playable anymore. It doesn't matter that you still have it downloaded or whatever. It's not even like a last chance to get this game sort of situation. It's this game will be unplayable after the death date, which kind of sucks. And it's kind of crazy because EA's original Tetris was one of the launch titles on the App Store, and it sold for $9.99 when the App Store first opened, which I think is pretty crazy. And then, of course, they came out with Tetris Blitz. And then, of course, they also kind of bamboozled everyone that did buy that original $10 Tetris by replacing it with a paid within app purchase crap and even a premium subscription service before that even became a thing, really, version back in 2011, which was a fun time.
Yeah, it's been weird how many different iterations Tetris has existed in modern days.
It's really crazy. And the EA ones, it's kind of like, unless you were one of those developers that was that snuck a unauthorized Tetris clone through the App Store or something like that and didn't get sued into oblivion.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too. What was the game's name? Like Mino or something like that? That was like an objectively better multiplayer online like Tetris Attack style game.
Yeah, Mino got...
That got like lawyer fucked into the Stone Age.
And then I actually mentioned in this story Tris, which was like Tris the homebrew version of Tetris that was like super popular on like homebrew and before the iPhone even came out and stuff like that. They actually got Tris released officially through the App Store at some point, and it was objectively better than EA's, but it eventually got shut down and kicked out or whatever.
You know, some people.
So anyway,
and I definitely would not say this myself. This is not my opinion at all. Mm-hmm. But I've definitely heard through the grapevine that some people have said, fuck EA.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that myself. I would never say that myself but
I would have,
I've heard people say it.
If I had to take a guess, I would have thought they're one of the most popular game developers, but
I've heard people say it.
I guess I'm finding out that they're actually one of the least popular and least liked.
Yeah. I don't, I'm just,
which I think is just surprising.
I'm just repeating what I've heard down the streets. That's all.
But anyway, so the EA Tetris games on mobile all had a pop-up this week, and they all got updated this week saying, hey, yo, these games are going to stop working after April 21st. Enjoy while you can. Peace out. Sorry if you spent money on these. And I thought that was interesting, and I kind of speculated, like, I think that EA must have lost the licensing deal
with the Tetris
company or whatever.
Bringing up is I saw, like, you know, the new fucking Twitter is so hard to keep track of like actual conversations because it's always like trying to inject dumb shit in your timeline and stuff like that.
Right.
But I saw a weird amount of chatter about people being like, oh, I'm so glad the Tetris rights are going back to the original creator, or there's something happening.
Well,
and I don't know.
Here's the second part of this story. Oh. And I don't know if this answers your question or not. Back in June of last year, Network, which is the company that was founded by Neil Young, who was the
You mean Knee 3 Twerk?
Knee 3 Twerk.
Yeah, because you pronounce the, well, I guess you could say N3 Twerk.
N3 Twerk. Network with a 3 for the E, because that's how you know it is an elite hack source company. They actually partnered up with Tetris to create the Tetris 99-ish sort of multiplayer game, Tetris Royale for mobile, which is currently in soft launch. And so they announced that last June. And so I thought it was interesting, like, oh, hey, a Tetris game on mobile from a company other than EA. That's interesting. Well, it turned out that the very next day after I posted this story, a brand new Tetris, not Royale, but just regular Tetris, was released from Network, N3 Twerk. And, released on the App Store, and
it just rolls off the tongue, Jared. N3 Twerk.
It's actually really interesting because it's a real deal Tetris. It has the original music that you want from like the NES game. Has the original game modes you would want. It controls super well for a touchscreen game, and it also has like a premium in-app purchase one-time buy premium unlock thing, which I feel is like baffling. And so it's kind of funny that like at least on like Reddit and stuff, there was a lot of people that were like pissed off because they still liked the EA Tetrises or whatever, and they're kind of pissed off that it got the rug got pulled out from under them, which is fair.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot more people being like, holy crap, this is like what I've wanted from a mobile Tetris, and now they've delivered it. I'm like super happy now. Mm-hmm. And this is a really playable, good Tetris that you can make be premium if you want. And it's kind of lacking in some of the additional modes and stuff like that, but they do note in the description that they have a lot of stuff planned for updates. So it's kind of interesting that this network company now has released the mobile Tetris going forward, and EAs are already off the store and everything, and then they'll be not working anymore in a couple of months. So kind of a weird story. There's always something crazy going on with Tetris, I guess. If you want to check out this new Tetris, I don't know. I guess search Tetris. It's the only one in the store anymore.
This to me remains like the most fucked up thing about mobile games. So is that like if you really just love Tetris Premium or like the one you bought a million years ago or Tetris Blitz or whatever, like those games soon will just not exist.
Yeah. And the Blitz one is probably the hardest to swallow because it's a unique type of Tetris that is really well suited to mobile and is probably... you know, a lot of people really like playing that as opposed to just regular stock Tetris, which is kind of all the new Tetris is anyway. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they add a Blitz mode and all that crap down the line or whatever. But the new Tetris is free. So if you want to check it out, worth a download, worth checking out. The N3 T-Work version is in the app store right now. It's free. And you can premium it up if you want. So
yeah, that's
we're checking out. But that was definitely an interesting story this week with all the Tetris drama.
I would also say that Tetris, what is it, 99 on the Switch?
Tetris 99 is awesome.
That is worth the price of admission for Nintendo Online.
Yeah,
I would just consider that a $10 game in Nintendo Online. Like the shit you get is just a value add, basically.
That's fair.
Also, I am super fucked up.
You can skip past this because this was just to demonstrate that Tetris came out or whatever. The new Tetris. Cool. Moving along, Rogue Legacy, a very, very, very good roguelike platforming game that finally launched on mobile last year. A lot of people were complaining about problems with their devices heating up like incredibly crazily while playing this game, which is kind of crazy. Like, people always look at like the visuals of a game and kind of like make a determination on how like taxing it should be, without kind of knowing more of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And so you look at this game and you're like, what? It's a cute little pixel art platformer. Like, how could this tax your hardware to the point it's, like, heating up like an oven? But a lot of times there's a lot of other stuff going on in games, especially with, like, physics-based games that have a lot of calculations going on that actually does tax your hardware. In the case of Rogue Legacy, a lot of people were complaining that their devices were heating up. And so what they've done... And I've come to find out that I believe this entire port was like one dude that did this for Cellar Door Games. I kind of want to dig into that a little bit more and try and learn more about that. But anyway, what they did is they rewrote the game to use Apple's Metal API instead of the original OpenGL ES.
Oh, cool.
For all the game rendering, which apparently has solved all of the heating up problems. And that makes sense because Apple's own, you know, API should be a lot friendlier to iOS devices.
Here's something interesting about this. So Apple is almost bullying developers into using Metal because they've made OpenGL, they're saying it's like deprecated and unsupported on iOS.
Wow.
So it's a really weird situation because a lot of the developers I talk to with Game Club will like just come out and be like, dude, just so you know, like my game is based on OpenGL and like, I don't know what's going to happen with this. Like Apple said, it's like no longer a thing.
Yeah.
And everything else. Cause they're trying to get everyone to use Metal because Metal just gives you like that much more of a platform lock. And, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens because I feel like it would be insane for Apple to be like, oh, we just don't support OpenGL anymore.
Yeah. It would, but...
Because that would be, like, if you thought the 64-bit thing was big, like, everything that uses OpenGL, that would be, like, half the apps are be gone.
Yeah.
Because it's a common, completely open, well-documented, academic standard for 3D stuff.
Right.
Which is why people use it over, like, platform lock technologies like Metal.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that would be crazy, but it would also answer the question of so somebody in the forum thread for Rogue Legacy asked if an Android version would ever be coming, and the guy who has ported this iOS version is basically like, no, probably not. I would have to totally rework the game, and it would be way, 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 way more work than it was to port this to iOS when I did it or whatever. So there will be no Android version of this unless something really crazy happens. But anyway, if you like Rogue Legacy, you tried it out last year, but were like having device heating issues or whatever, you should definitely give this new version a try. I've heard from a lot of people that say that it completely solves the problem and that it just plays like normal now. So that's cool.
So
it's good that they fix that.
Here's my question though. What if you are in Alaska or work in Antarctica at like one of the research stations and stuff, and you like
you
playing this game because it was like, wow, I could play this like a really cool mobile game and my frozen fingers are no longer cold.
Yeah. It sounds like they're just ignoring that segment of their audience and not taking their needs into consideration at all, which is just in this day and age, I feel like I should tweet about that.
Much like
how messed up that.
Much like what I had to say about EA. I've heard rumblings on the street. Yeah. I would never say this, but I've heard people say it. I'm just repeating the things I've heard people say is fucking greedy devs.
Yeah, greedy devs.
Greedy devs.
Not giving a shit about our cold hands.
Taking away the features that are important to me as an Antarctic researcher.
Yeah. Yeah, what if I had to fry an egg on out of nowhere?
It's a really
inconsiderate. All I had was my super hot phone running Rogue Legacy. What am I supposed to do then? Starve, I guess. I guess developers want me to starve.
Or eat raw eggs like Brad Nicholson.
I could do that and just bulk up. So moving along, this is a story that falls into the I don't know anything about any of this stuff, but I'm just reporting it because it seems like a big deal. Project Z-Hanort is a new Kingdom Hearts mobile game that was announced. Well, not really announced because that's a tentative title. However, Square Enix would like and is inviting fans to guess the name of what the game is. And so if you follow the story here, there's a link to the site where you can actually put in the guess of what you think this new Kingdom Hearts mobile game will be actually named. Right now it's just called Project Z-Hanort. I don't know how to pronounce this, and I don't care. But you may recall there's a Kingdom Hearts mobile game already called Kingdom Hearts Union Cross that's been around for several years now and is quite popular, I guess. So I'm not totally sure. Those details are very scarce on what exactly you're going to be doing in this new game. But if you like Kingdom Hearts, which a lot of people do, which I was never one of those people, but I don't judge you if you do. Then you can check out the website. You can take a stab at guessing the name of the new game if you'd like to do that or whatever. But obviously, because it's Kingdom Hearts, we'll be keeping tabs on this and seeing what happens.
I've wanted to get into Kingdom Hearts for the longest time. But
yeah.
Like when I asked friends of mine, they're like really into Kingdom Hearts. Like because most games, like so Witcher 3, which I'm playing right now, you really don't need to know anything about the previous two games. Like,
yeah,
it basically is like... if you can just jump into Lord of the Rings without reading the, The Hobbit or the Silmarillion or how you pronounce. Sorry, the hiccups because I'm a fucking idiot. But Kingdom Hearts apparently, because I've asked that, I've been like, oh, there's a new Kingdom Hearts on PS4 or whatever. Like, I'd love to give this a go. Am I gonna, as someone that's never played Kingdom Hearts before, am I gonna have fun with that? And they're like, well, no. You should play at minimum one remastered and then 2 DX special edition, and then you can probably skip 3, but you can go straight into 4 S Class Ultimate.
But you will want to read the novels too.
And then read the graphic novels at minimum.
Yeah,
but I would recommend the trilogy of novels.
Yeah,
and then
it seems like a big convoluted mess that if you've been along for the ride since the beginning, you probably love it, but if you wanted to get into it now, I don't know what you would do.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's hilarious.
I have a story to tell. Whenever you're ready.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if this is appropriate venue or not for my story.
I don't know either. That's
I have two stories. Do you want a short story or a longer story for this?
I don't know. We have about 20 minutes left to
God, Jared. All right, let's blast through these. I'll keep my fucking stories myself.
Okay, so my most exciting news of the week, if I gave a news of the week award out, it would go to this. All the Raptsoft games got updated with like full screen and modern device support and all that good stuff. So that means Solomon's Keep, Solomon's Boneyard, Hoggy 2, and Robot Wants Kitty are all updated and working and looking great. Well, as great as a 10-year-old game can look. They're still kind of low res, but they all are playable again and full screen, which makes me happy, as I mentioned before. Solomon's Keep especially was a game that I reviewed mere days after I started with Touch Arcade. So coming
oh,
up on...
Oh, really? What was your first review? Was that it? The first published review.
Cubism was my very first
review. My first published review was Let's Golf from Game Loft.
Let's Golf, that was such a good game. Hot Shots.
I remember I described, I thought, I was, thought it was so weird how, sorry, I'm fucking wrecked, but Blake edited my review to change the sentence where I was like, and you could put a different... And you can like swipe on the left to put a different like spin on your ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake edited it to say you could swipe on the left to put English on your ball.
Oh.
And I remember this like big thing where I was like, I mean, you guys are running the show, but I don't know what English is. I don't know if other people know what English is. It seems like a really whack edit, but sure.
I'm pretty sure that as far as golfing goes, at least in video game form, it's called spin. It's called English.
I've never heard someone say it.
So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, putting a spin on a ball is basically putting English on it when you make it like you hit your shot and then it turns to the left or whatever. But like, I don't know if I've ever heard that used in golfing terms anyway. But, you know, it was over a decade ago. I think it's time for you to forgive him.
I may forgive, but I will never forget.
Never forget. So yeah, Solomon's Keep was one of my first big reviews for Touch Arcade, and that was almost a decade ago. So it's a good game anyway, but it also has a special place for me because of that. And then Solomon's Boneyard is basically an endless wave-based version of Solomon's Keep, which is also very good. Robot Wants Kitty is just a badass, super fun Metroidvania platformer. Which is just really good even now. But it also has a full-blown level editor, so there's like a billion user-created levels and stuff to play too. And same thing with Hoggy 2, which is another... It's a gravity-based platformer, very similar to the VVVVVV from Terry Cavanaugh. But it also has the same sort of full-blown level editor and bajillions of user-created levels and stuff like that. So all these games are free to try too, with ads and then ad disabler in at purchase. So there's no reason not to try them all out now if you've never played them before, and especially if you were fans previously and kind of didn't have them on your device anymore like me and didn't realize there was updates for these games. Go recheck them out and replay them and re-enjoy them once again. Kind of crazy to think that these games are all like 10 years old now.
Yeah, no, for real. Like Solomon's, those, it was another thing that was weird about Solomon's Keep and Boneyard and stuff was that came out on the App Store at a time where it was like, whoa, all right, so there's like the dungeons random.
That's cool. Oh, randomly generated dungeons? That's crazy. Yeah. That's before that stuff was like the hot shit in every gaming platform. Speaking of super old games, iDracula. A couple of years ago, you posted about this. The guys that made the original iDracula, which was, if you weren't around in 2009 and 2010, was the hottest, coolest dual-stick shooter ever made, where you played as a vampire hunter and shot vampires. Kind of like was the first big dual-stick shooter on the platform, I believe. And it was a very good game back then. But the people that made the original iDracula a couple years ago popped up and were like, hey, we're making another... like a spiritual successor to iDracula, with way more weaponry, with a bunch of like weapon upgrade systems and stuff like that, and also like roguelike randomly generated stuff. And it looked really good in pixel art instead of like the kind of gothic illustrated art like the original game or whatever. It was called iDracula Genesis. And they were shooting for a Steam release, and then we're going to think about mobile later. Well, that was over 2 years ago. And they're just now getting to the point where they are about to release the early access version on Steam. That's coming hopefully in March. And if the Steam release does good, and it's also going to be coming to the Switch too, which I feel like this is just a sweet platform for this game, would be the Switch. But if those two do well enough, then they will also bring it to mobile down the line too. So if you want to see the desktop and the Switch version do good, you can wishlist it on Steam right now. And then, you know, check out the Steam or the Switch versions when they launch in a few months, hopefully in March, and support them through that way because you want a mobile version of a new iDracula game, which
it's
I think
crazy
would be...
we shot that video of playing iDracula in 2013.
That was 2013, yeah. And it's funny because that was only 4 years after the game came out. We kept referring to it as like, oh, this game is so old. Oh, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
And now that game is like 11 years old, or well, more like 10. But also check out the new, they released a new trailer for the iDracula Genesis, which
cool.
I embedded in that story. So check out the new trailer because the new version looks pretty awesome. We've talked about this before. Mario Kart Tour, the mobile version of Mario Kart, has did a multiplayer beta not too long ago that was exclusive to the gold VIP pass subscriber people in the game that were paying $5 a week or whatever it is to be the VIPs and have access to all the special stuff in the game. Well, that also meant they got access to the multiplayer beta, but that was short-lived, and now as of today, the game, the multiplayer, it's still in beta, but it is now open to anybody. So you can fire up Mario Kart Tour and go into the game and click on multiplayer, and has to verify, I think, your location or something like that. But then you can either start playing with friends or playing with randos on the internet and test out the multiplayer stuff. None of the progress is going to transfer over once the multiplayer mode launches officially. But if you
really
just jonesing,
so if you've been like grinding for dumb bullshit in this game, that doesn't count in the multiplayer.
I guess not. I think it's more like, I don't know how the multiplayer works,
dumb as fuck.
Or if you unlock a bunch of stuff through it, or if it's just like win loss records and stuff like that. Which if it's that case, then I don't really care. I think they should wipe it and start everyone fresh on the same, you know, playing field or whatever. But if you're like earning stuff to unlock parts and things like that through multiplayer. And they're going to, I don't know, they can't like take that stuff away from you, right? But whatever, it just says your progress won't transfer, so whatever that may mean. But if you're into Mario Kart Tour, you want to try out the multiplayer, beta is live for everybody now. Go check it out. Personally, I don't like this game, so I'm not going to check it out.
You're not going to check it out. You're committing to that.
I will not check that out. I have other things to do, sorry. So, would you believe that it has been 2 years since Meteor Fall launched in the App Store? Because for whatever reason, whenever I think about this game, I feel like it just came out. But that is not the case. Meteor Fall, which is a super good roguelike deck-building card game, launched in January of 2018. And so it's celebrating its second anniversary around then. I think it actually launched like tomorrow or maybe next week or something like that, but roughly it's 2 year anniversary. And so it's dropped its price to $1.99. It's normally $3.99. And I usually don't make too big a deal about sales because they just happen so often. And most games are free now anyway, so whatever. But in Meteor Fall's case, the only time it's ever been on sale was as a launch discount, and then once for its first anniversary, and now for its second anniversary. So it's one of those sales that doesn't come along too often. And it's a game that's easily worth $4.
Oh, this game is so fucking good. It's stupid.
You'll play it forever. Like, it never gets old. It's like having an awesome version of Solitaire on your phone. But, yeah, it's only $2 right now. So if you have, for whatever reason, been resisting dropping the money on it, now would be a good time to pick it up for sale, because in all likelihood, there won't be another sale until its third anniversary a year from now. And besides the sale, they also released a big update for the game today that has a new playable character named Varfa. That's what it is. Varfa. That's not a very not a super great name to have, but she looks pretty cool. She comes with more than 30 new cards, and they've been pretty good about adding new playable characters and new modes and all sorts of new content to this game since it released 2 years ago. So it's even a better game today as it was 2 years ago. So no reason not to buy it for $2. Treat yourself.
This game's really good, and they're not quite as hardcore as Rocky Cat about sales, but sales are very rare. So I would jump on this one.
Yeah. You'll wonder why you waited so long to buy it. And the last thing I had to talk about this week is that Forsaken Media's War Tortoise 2 is now up for pre-order, and the expected release date is March 5th. And I think we covered this last month when they first announced
the sequel. Talked about it for sure.
Because War Tortoise, the first one, was one of both of our favorite games when it came out in 2016.
Oh, yeah. Insanely good.
It's just this super weird blend, which Forsaken Media, that's like their specialty is genre blending, but it's a shooter, like a fixed position third person shooter where you're mounted on this giant tortoise and shooting wave after wave of enemies, but has the progression system of like an idle game, which is just one of those super like every time you play, you're upgrading something, you're getting something new, you're equipping new items, you're doing whatever. And then once you get to a point where you feel like you've kind of maxed everything else out, prestige and start over again and do it all over again or whatever. So it has that super compulsive idle game style progression system, which worked phenomenally well mixed in with a third person shooter style game. War Tortoise 2 changed things up because you actually can move your tortoise from to different points on the map and actually battle while you're in motion. You're still a giant turtle though, so you're probably moving pretty slow, but still there's some interesting things that can come from that, like capturing different points on the map and getting special abilities based on what, you know, position on the map you're on and stuff like that. So overall, sounds like a super cool sequel. They've been beta testing it with people in our forums for the last month or so since the announcement. And now it seems like they are pretty happy where things are at to be able to put it up for pre-order and decide on a release date and all that good stuff. So March 5th, that's the expected release date. Of course, things can always happen. Maybe it changes or whatever, but it kind of seems like they're on track for that. And if you like doing the pre-order thing, you can go do that now. The game is free, but when it launches, it'll just download to your device and you won't forget or anything like that, which Hell yeah. is cool really for good. Some people. So.
Really good.
But anyway, that is about all the mobile news stuff I had, and we're left with almost 9 minutes. So,
Can we get into story time now?
Feels like we have time for a story or maybe two from you.
God, Jared, I have so many stories. Give me a category.
You had two you wanted to tell earlier, so let's start there.
Well, I don't remember what one of them was, but the story of the week has been... So I'm a member of a sportsman's club, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So it's which is basically an organization of guys that run like different like long range rifle shooting things. They do like fishing tournaments. They're like the people that you like meet up with if you want to go like do deer hunting in Illinois, which I've never done. And other similar stuff like that, right? It's been pretty interesting because the organization is run by what I would describe as a good old boys club. You know, so like ultra super duper conservative, like 70-year-old plus dudes, right? And so what has been really interesting is that anytime there's any kind of like club election or anything, it's like they structured the way the election works so it's only like their friends vote for them every time around. Because you have to be in Clinton, Illinois, which is a far, far, far western Chicago rural suburb. I mean, it's far. Between the hours of like 8 and 10 p.m. on one Thursday every month to vote. So it's, of course, like the in the past, like the only people that vote are the people that live there, which is like all the good old boys that have been running this club forever. So last night was the election. And again, typically these elections are decided by like 30, 40, 50 people for a club that has like 2,500 people in it, which that seems crazy in itself. So these guys got, the new people got like something like 250 people to show up to vote, to vote for, and they voted out every single one of the old leadership.
No way. And they totally catch all of them off guard.
Yeah. And like, so I wasn't there cause I was at the dentist yesterday and was pretty fucked up when I got back because I got the second part of my root canal and stuff. I really wanted to go, but just like it probably just wouldn't have, it would have been bad if I would have gone. But yeah, like I was reading, like they're talking about, oh my god, this club's being commandeered, this is a coup and all this stuff. And it's like, well, dude, you know, when you make rules that are like these extremely, extremely good old boys club, hard to vote, voter suppression stuff. And then people show up and you don't know what to do. Like you can't be mad at anyone but yourself.
Yeah.
Because like the new people that are running this club are effectively like running it on like their platform is meetings should be streamed on Facebook Live. You should be able to vote online. for what's happening. And that's or some kind of like mail-in proxy voting or something.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's their platform. But to like the 70-year-old plus dudes that are running the show, this is like World War III that this happened.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. I need you to keep tabs on all of that and see how that ends up going, because what do those dudes do now? Like, let's go start a new club somewhere else, I guess, with just us, like a no-homers club?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just like... But honestly, why I was so happy this happened is because, like, any time in the past, like, so I've been a member of this club for, I don't know, a number of years now. Anytime anyone was like, dude, I fucking cannot make it out to Waterman, Illinois inside of an hour window on a random Thursday. Like, I just can't. Like, I got shit going on. And there's a lot of people that are like that. And the response from club leadership always was like, well, we can change how voting works, but it requires someone submitting an amendment to the club constitution, and you got to read it at a meeting and then come to another meeting and have it put up for a vote. And then, so you had to be there like three times. So if your whole thing is like, I can't come to these meetings, I want to vote online, it's basically designed for you to never be able to do that.
Yeah. So that's hilarious. So they beat the system.
They beat them hard. And I'm like, I'm actually like super excited to see how this goes because, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh. Just help him to bring that kid in. This is the end of the podcast.
Okay. We're wrapping up. Come here, baby. Want to be a star?
Hi, Pam.
Ah, yes. He is thrilled right now.
Oh, this is...
Hi.
This is like,
Yes.
I feel like this is where I should be saying this episode of Touch Your Kid Show is sponsored by Durex.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night. Bye.
You didn't like my joke?
I didn't hear your joke.
So. I said this section of the podcast, the closing segment of the podcast today is sponsored by Durex.
Yeah.
As your wife brings your screaming baby in.
Let me, we'll Amazon affiliate link the hell out of some condoms as that'll be our show sponsor this week. But yeah, no, he's doing all right. He's calmed down a little bit. He just woke up, so he's probably whatever. He's, but yeah.
He seems like he's on the edge of something.
Well, it'd be interesting to see who watches this to the end and is like, oh my God, a live baby. a live baby.
One of the things that came up, speaking of babies, if we can wander into baby chat, I guess, since we got a baby on the podcast now.
Sure.
One of the things that came out of CES that I thought was, when I read about it, I was like, oh yeah, it seems cool, whatever. I have no idea. Is the wireless, breast pumping.
I saw an article about that. Yeah.
And people are like losing their shit over this. Cause like apparently, and I only know this from like gleaming the cube of people that I've known, my friends of mine that have kids, is like, if you're a professional woman that has to go to work and stuff like that, like pumping is a thing.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of awkward. Like when you work in an office, you like have to do it in the bathroom or like the pumping room or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so at CES this year, they had, I don't know if it was like one or two different companies that had these things that were like you basically just like put them in your bra and they were like lithium ion battery powered.
Yeah.
And they just like did their thing.
Yeah.
And I was
I meant to show this to Pam because, she has to like stop and take a break during her shifts. The longer ones at least, and go pump. And she does it in like the back office of her restaurant or whatever. And it'd be cool if you didn't have to stop and take 20 minutes out of your day to do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff.
What do you think? I just got another Craigslist scam text message.
Ooh.
They text me, still available? I said, it's still available. They responded, I'm glad you still have it. I'm out of town at the moment. I can only mail you a check through USPS delivery with extra $60 to hold. Movers would come and pick up when the check is cleared.
Why are you not putting this on Facebook Marketplace? I feel like that's such
it
a
is.
Better...
I haven't gotten any bites on Facebook
Marketplace. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Other than some... too much junk. What about Nextdoor? You don't do Nextdoor, huh?
Nextdoor is not huge here.
What do you think? You want a couch?
I was on a podcast this week called Rounding Down, if anyone wants to listen to that.
Yeah.
We talked about mobile games.
I never listen to podcasts, but I'll listen to one that you're on.
A friend of mine wouldn't admit how much he spent on the Final Fantasy 15 mobile game.
Oh God, the terrible
which
one.
means a lot. Yeah. So I was like, tens? And he's like, no, more than that. I was like, hundreds? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it's happened to the best of us, but
well, what else?
Now that I have this bundle of responsibility, I guess it's maybe time to wrap up the show.
I'm trying to think of like any like good game club happenings this week that is worth talking about.
Yeah, your game this week was
Pixel Boat Rush.
Oh yeah, that's a good game. Yeah. I love that game.
Actually. Really, really good game. We are behind the scenes. We're working on a quiz for people that are in the app for the first time that like don't really know what kind of game they should play first. So it's like we kind of styled it off of like a Tinder style thing.
Where like, you get to swipe.
Yeah, so like it's like a deck of cards comes up and it's like, all right, do you like fast action games? Yes, no. Okay, do you like arcade games? Yes, no.
Sounds fun.
Do you like arcade games? Yes, no. Well, you know, in other, I don't know, there's logic to it that so you start seeing the same stuff, but you eventually wind up with like, oh, very cool. These are the games we think you should play. We already threw them all into your wish list. Like, have fun.
That's a really smart thing to do.
I try to do smart things.
I don't know what is happening that my laptop's going into hovercraft mode, but it is. I'm surprised. I'll be surprised if you can't hear this through the recording. But
it sounds fine.
The other thing is next week you're going to be out of town.
Yeah.
So we probably will not be doing a video show, but we're going to try hard to do at the very least an audio show at some point, as you're able and as hotel Wi-Fi permits us to. Just as a heads up.
God, I can't
show note.
I can't even tell you. So I had this. I got a crown, like my tooth prepped to put a crown on last week.
Yeah.
And I was sensitive to hot and cold to a extent that was like borderline unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because I usually usually I drink water around my house. Like I fill my water bottle up with ice cubes and just fill it with water, and that lasts me all day. Usually, and I'll just like top it off. Mm-hmm. That was unbearably cold.
Oh my gosh.
And like hot stuff like tea was like unbearably hot. So I was like drinking like room temperature water.
Yum.
And like I got my like full deal crown put in today and it is like such a fucking quality of life improvement. It's like
really.
It's crazy. Like I was like so I got so used to like drinking something, rolling my mouth like to the left and then kind of like swallowing like a fucking goose. So it wouldn't touch my tooth that had the temporary on it.
Yeah.
And now it's fucking gravy, and I'm just can't even.
Worth every penny, would you say?
Yeah, well, no, probably not.
It's probably should have been cheaper.
Really expensive, but, you know. The good thing is I hate money, so.
What money? What's it good for anyway?
That's why I say. I'm just going to, when I die, the directive is for Lindsay to dig a hole in the backyard and throw me in it. And let the buzzards pick me dry. And then
the platform I'm running on is free tooth care for all. The rest of your health is up to you, but tooth care should be covered.
Well, what's kind of crazy is I can see, I don't know, if you really cross your eyes, like dental insurance and dental care stuff like makes sense for like routine shit like cleanings, you know, like simple fillings and stuff like that. Like sure, okay, maybe you pay out of pocket for that because you're talking like $100 or $200 or whatever. Whereas like if you need like periodontal surgery because like your gums are receding weirdly or whatever, that's like that's like fucking like $8,000. And if you have like good dental insurance, you might get like $2,500 worth of benefits in a year, which means you're on the hook for like over $5,000 just for like one procedure.
Yeah. Which it's messed up.
I mean, and I think like dental health, like that impacts your overall health so much. It's just like, I don't know. It's
big time.
It's annoying. What does this baby have to talk about?
I don't know. He's being pretty quiet right now. He's got a mouth full of pacifier, so I guess that's why that happens. You want to stand up?
Where did the blonde hair of this baby come from?
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Well, Pam was blonde when she was a baby, so.
Oh, really? And she turned brunette? Or is that, did she dye her hair? Oh.
No, it changed.
Interesting.
So I don't know if this will stick with him. It even looks a little reddish sometimes, which is concerning. I think both of us have redhead relatives in our family lineage, so Are you gonna be a little ginger baby, maybe? I don't know. We'll see. They say like eye color and hair color, the first year it can just change. It's nothing's really permanent, so we will see what's up. But he's 9 months now, so we're pushing a year.
Like it's
come pretty soon.
Here's a random story for you. So yeah. There's this place that opened up near us called Mission Barbecue. I don't know if this is a chain or not. It kind of seems like a chain, but it might not be. On the hour, they have everyone stand up to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Wow, that sounds annoying.
Weird, right?
If you don't stand up, do you get like shunned out of there?
I don't know. I felt like, I must stand, even though I was in the middle of my fucking wings. I was like, well, yeah. I don't know what's happening. This is really fucking weird that I'm at a restaurant where they're making everyone say the Pledge of Allegiance, but here we are.
It's pretty weird. Yeah, I don't think I would be down for that at all. I would tell them to shut up.
So you don't got no stories? Shut the heck up. Should we crash this podcast into the nearest overpass?
Probably. I feel like the silence of this little baby, his good behavior, is not going to be lasting too much longer than this. So I will say thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. As I failed to mention before, Touch Arcade is primarily sponsored through our Patreon supporters. So if you like what we do and want to see us continue doing it, and if you want to see this little baby get fed or not, it is up to you to visit patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider supporting us for as little as $1 a month, where you'll get a video version of this podcast that you're listening to, in this week at least, featuring special guest of my son. Otherwise, you can help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. Yes, that's a microphone that you are grabbing. Isn't that cool? where we'll get a little bit of a slice of anything you'd be buying through Amazon anyway, and that can add up and help us out a lot as well. Also, I think we got a couple of emails that I didn't get a chance to read this week. So
well, if you want to pull them up, I got nothing to do. Unless you want to bounce your kids.
We're too far into this closing out the podcast. Well, portion. So we'll tuck them aside for next week. But if you want to send us an email, and maybe we can do an email heavy episode, send it to podcast@toucharcade.com. We like getting email. It makes us feel special. You can tell us anything you want, and we'll read it on the air to a certain extent. There is limits to what we will read on the air. But we're pretty loose with those limits, if you know what I mean. Other than that, I will say thanks for listening. We should be having another episode for you next week.
We'll try as hard as we can. Anything
crazy, but even if not, know that there will be a new episode of Tetracade Show in your future soon. So thanks again for listening.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone. Have a good thing.